Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson. It's been a couple weeks. Sorry to have missed out, but we are back on the train now. We will not miss one going forward because it is high time here with the Golden Knights and the NHL as a whole going into the playoffs. Only 12 more games remaining in the season. And I guess if I was really cynical, I would say, well, we haven't talked because we don't really need to. It seems like Vegas is locked in to what they're going to be. They're third in the Pacific, and I really don't see them falling one way or the other. But I still think there's got to be some intrigue here over the next 2-3 weeks to finish off the regular season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even if they do finish, in that three spot, I think there's a lot of intrigue atop to whether or not Vegas is going to be going to Calgary or San Jose to start the season. Arizona just has decided that they're just not going to lose anymore. They're just over that. So they've been, as we record this, they're in a wild card spot and still on the Golden Knights' heels. They're 6 points back, so doubtful that they catch Vegas. But the Pacific has a lot of intrigue, even if Vegas is perhaps in the spot with the least amount of intrigue in it.
For sure. I still think that San Jose-Calgary is going to define the whole year of the Pacific. Obviously, it's going to see who gets to raise the banner. I feel like we've kind of beaten that to death of who Vegas would rather play. So I'll ask you, where would you rather go in the first round? Do you want to be going to San Jose or Calgary? What's Justin Emerson think?
So we've talked a lot about that, me and the other guys at practice, and I could see both sides because it would be a lot of fun to go see playoff hockey in Canada. Calgary does the Red Sea. That would be a lot of fun. But San Jose, you know, easier, shorter trip, and, you know, if they keep the same schedule, they'd play Wednesday, Friday. San Francisco Giants are in town on Thursday on that off night. So, you know, I could go either way. If I had to pick one, I'd say I wouldn't mind going to Calgary. I think that could be fun.
Wow, I got to think you're in the minority there.
You said you've talked to most people. Okay. I think I might be. Well, I mean, I'm going to San Jose on Monday, so I will have been there. But I've never been to Calgary. I've actually never been to Canada. It's always been something I've wanted to do. So an opportunity to do that. I think I may be in the minority.
I'm sorry if Calgary is your first Canadian city. I've actually never been to Calgary, so shots fired. But I've been to, I think, maybe every other. I mean, I haven't been to Edmonton either, but I've been to all the other Canadian NHL cities.
I really want to go. Maybe Vegas will make a final run against Toronto. That could be fun.
All right, well, we'll have to see. Well, of course, I mean, everyone wants a division title. You want that one seed in the playoffs. So there was already enough on the line for San Jose and Calgary, but it seems even more important now since the last time we've spoke because Vegas is playing extremely well.
Yes.
Had won 6 in a row before losing in Calgary on Sunday night, but still 6-1 since the trade deadline, since the new look of the team.
Yeah.
We haven't talked since Mark Stone arrived via the trade deadline, of course, for Eric Brandstrom in some draft picks. But I think our big topic today is just optimism with the Vegas Golden Knights because they have played extremely well since that trade. And it seems like Mark Stone, even though he only has, I think, a goal and an assist since coming over.
Two goals.
You can tell. Oh, two goals. My bad. I missed one.
Yeah, he scored in Vancouver and Calgary.
Okay. All right. So two in Canada. I think he's already seen, you can tell the guy's talent. You can tell that he's already paid dividends for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he gets here and they're 6-1. Before that, they were 1-6. So, right before he got here. So, and I think, and, you know, I talk about it a lot, but what has impressed me the most about Stone is just his defensive game. I think he's slotted right in onto that line with Pacioretty and Stastny. I think they play off of each other perfectly. I think that what he's able to do in the defensive zone, it doesn't seem like he ever really makes a mistake. And when you compare that with, you know, some of the other players on the team and some of the other players throughout the league, you know, just a generic hockey player, like they're going to make some mistakes. They're going to make some bad passes. They're going to make some turnovers. But, I mean, the guy just does not do that. He plays as well in every zone as he does. The scoring touch is starting to come, and he's just a big body that's going to draw penalties. And what he, Stastny, and Pacioretty, that's a line in the playoffs that I think is just gonna do some real damage. Even if Vegas maybe doesn't make a run, I think that it's gonna be very hard to keep that particular line off of the score sheet.
Pretty much rendered our top 10 most important Golden Knights going forward podcast, yeah, which you can listen back to. I still think might be interesting, but it kind of rendered it useless,
yeah,
because I now feel like Mark Stone, you know, there's no way you could argue him outside of the top three. I think top two, but maybe you could.
I was going to say, at this point, you know, maybe you could say that Fleury is just because you need the goalie. But I mean, the promise that he brings to the team, and what, I mean, $76 million later, you better hope that he lives up to, is just a full 200-foot player, a guy that's going to chip in 60, 70 points every year. I mean, this is a star player, and this is, you know, the best player on the Golden Knights, the best skater on the Golden Knights now. So I think you're right. I think it'd be very hard to say that somebody's more important than he is outside, unless, of course, you want to make a case for the goalie, but that's a little apples to oranges.
Yeah, I was still going to go Fleury 1, but Stone 2. And like I said, I think you can make the Stone number one argument. And I like that you said, I totally agree. I think he shows up and is immediately their best skater, their best player. And just how rare is that for? I know Vegas hasn't had as great of a year as last year, but I still think you're listing Stanley Cup contenders. They would be in on that list. How often does a player arrive via trade to a Stanley Cup contender and is immediately the best player on the team? Doesn't happen all that often. So it's kind of been an interesting thing to watch. But I think, as I've already said, you can watch right away and just see the talent level of this guy. And you can see that that really is the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look just kind of across other sports, that baseball, I think it's a lot of right at the trade deadline, a lot of stars move around in baseball. It doesn't necessarily happen in hockey as much. You look at last year's big trade deadline acquisition for the Golden Knights. It was Tomas Tatar. So I think this one's working out already a little bit better than Tatar has. And they didn't have to give away a first-round pick for Stone. So, in a way, I mean, obviously they gave away perhaps their top prospect and one of the best defensive prospects in hockey in Erik Brännström. But, you know, Brännström's going to be really good in Ottawa, but Mark Stone is really good already in Vegas and going to be really good here for a very long time.
I was kind of surprised. I think I've come around. Well, I was never against it, but I think I was slightly for the trade, but I thought it'd be a little bit more split. I thought Brännström was already so beloved. I thought people would be pretty upset about giving him up, but it seems like, I mean, we ran a poll on LasVegasSun.com, and I think we got quite a bunch of
it was very in favor
of votes, and it was everyone was super strong in favor. It seems like everyone thinks Mark Stone is a slam dunk. That scares me a little bit. I mean, because I still think
that's just the betting instinct that you have. Like, if a lot of people think one thing, you better think the other, right?
Yeah, but did it surprise you at all? I mean, you're closer. I guess I just thought maybe the fan base had a little bit more of an attachment to Brännström, and I mean, they did give up a lot in the future. But did you kind of see that everyone was going to be so in favor and so positive about this?
You know, I'm definitely not surprised that people were excited to have a player of Mark Stone's caliber. And I think that what's really cool about it is that Vegas, you know, Stone's a player that's known in the hockey world, obviously. But if you go around and you ask people about hockey players that they know, like, you get your Crosbys and your Ovechkins and your superstars in the league. But I don't think Mark Stone is a guy who kind of permeates outside of hockey circles. So the fact that Vegas, now a year into having a team, is like, oh yeah, we got this guy. And I mean, I feel like I'm talking down a little bit to Vegas when I say that. But the fact that everybody was aware immediately, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make, is to just what a big acquisition this was and how excited they were for him. And his first game, they worked him into the pregame video, and his announcement when he was in the starting lineup was as loud as Fleury's that night. So people love him here already, and they signed him to an 8-year contract. So he's currently signed past anybody on the team. He'll be here for, including this year, for 9 seasons. So
right. And I know, you know, some people could look at that and kind of be scared an 8-year deal is a long time, but I do think you can't overlook that the guy is only 26.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
say he immediately comes in and is their best player, but there's a good argument to be made that we haven't even seen his ceiling yet. I mean, he could potentially be, you know, even better, especially these next 2 or 3 seasons. That's when he's going to be entering what you would think would be his prime.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he's playing, you know, Paul Stastny's here for 2 more years after this. Max Pacioretty starts a new 4-year deal next year. So they're going to be playing with each other for a while. And you look at the age and 8 years for a 26-year-old. Bryce Harper's 26. He just signed for 13 years. And I get it, hockey and baseball, very different aging curves. But the fact that, yeah, Mark Stone is, as George McPhee said in the press conference, he's the now, he's the present, he's the future. He is, you know, is perhaps as soon as Fleury retires, going to be the face of this team. And, you know, maybe if they decide to you know, throw a C onto somebody's jersey, it very well could be Mark Stone down the road.
Interesting. Yeah. No C's so far still, of course. Yeah,
23 captains, I like to say.
Yeah. Kind of surprising. I felt like maybe England had a chance to get it this year, but did not happen. Anyway, Stone, as we mentioned, they're 6-1 since acquiring him. We've got a lot of out on how what we think the deal means to Vegas, what he's done. But anything else that stands out during this during this run, how well they've played? What else has kind of caught your attention?
I think part of it is that Marc-Andre Fleury's kind of getting his mojo back a little bit. In that last seven games, he allowed one goal to Dallas. He had a shutout of Anaheim. He had a shutout of Vancouver. He played well in here against Calgary, played well in Vancouver. So Marc-Andre Fleury, he's playing really well, and we've talked about it a couple of times, just how important he's going to be for the rest of the season and, more importantly, into the playoffs. And he's, you know, he's playing some of his best hockey of the season, and it coincides with just everybody playing a little bit better too. The defense has been playing well. The offense has been keeping the puck in the opposing zone, even against a team, you know, like Calgary, who controls the zone, and Dallas, who's in a playoff spot. Their last six-game winning streak, or seven games that they had in December and January, it was a lot of bad teams they were beating up on. But in this last stretch, you know, they've beaten Dallas, who's in a playoff spot. Florida, who's still on the outside looking in, but still fighting for it. They've beaten Calgary, and sure, they did beat the Ducks and the Canucks twice, but the fact is they're playing good, and, you know, they beat the Ducks and Canucks by a total of 12-2. So they're beating the good teams, and they're beating up on the bad teams during the stretch. And they did lose in Calgary. That's a tough one. It was the second night of a back-to-back, and you know, not a lot of people win in Calgary this season. So we'll see kind of how they're going to play in this next stretch of a couple of games. You know, they've got Dallas, and then they come back home for Edmonton, flip right around to go to San Jose, and then have Winnipeg next Thursday. So it doesn't really get any easier for them. And if they're going to be playing this well, it's what they're going to need to do to have that confidence rolling into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fleury, of course, well-publicized, longest shutout streak of his career during that
200 minutes
run. And speaking of mojo, the one game I was at during this stretch, he was trying to fight everyone against the Flames. You got to have some mojo to be a goalie and willing to throw down the stick.
Would have been the greatest moment, not only in Golden Knights history, but in hockey history, if Marc-Andre Fleury, like, somebody said it on Twitter, it might have been Jesse Granger, said, how bad, like, what do you have to do to make Fleury not like you? Like,
this dude loves
everybody, but
hard to believe.
Yeah, it's a fun time in Golden Knights land, which is a little different than the last time we did this podcast a couple of weeks ago. Like you said, they have 12 games left, and it's kind of astonishing how fast this season has gone by, the fact that we do only have 12 games left.
Well, for the purposes of this week's episode, we're going to try to record again next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're just going to look at this stretch of three games in 4 days they have coming up. You'll be at all three. They play at Dallas on Friday, come back home for a Sunday evening matchup with the Oilers, and then at San Jose. So another not an easy stretch here, two playoff teams. And then I know Edmonton's really faded, but still always threatening with Connor McDavid. Have some days off before this, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can maintain that momentum with you know, a little bit of a trying stretch here, a lot of games and not a lot of rest, traveling to two different locations.
Yeah, completely. And you know, they have 4 days off since they last played on Sunday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday they will be off before playing Dallas. And Fleury didn't play on Sunday against Calgary. So assuming he plays on Friday against Dallas, his last game will have been Saturday, which is really 5 days off for him, which is something that I think, you know, has been written a million times, is just how much rest Fleury needs and just how much he's played this year. So, you know, you got to assume Fleury's going to be in net Friday, arrested Marc-Andre Fleury. Saturday they're off, Sunday they're back home against Edmonton, and then Monday in San Jose. What I'm curious is who's going to be the goalie against Edmonton and San Jose. Coach Gallant had mentioned, you know, the last time they had a back-to-back, he likes the idea of not playing Fleury in both of those. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, they play Fleury in the home game against Edmonton, more of, I don't want to say a sure thing, but, you know, the odds will favor them more, or if you'd rather have Fleury go in San Jose on the second night of a back-to-back to try to steal one from the Sharks in the tank.
Yeah, that's interesting. Certainly, I think there's no way he plays both these games. I mean, Gallant can say whatever he wants, that I'm sure he's not going to give any information that he hasn't decided, that it's too early, but I see almost no way Fleury plays both Sunday and Monday.
I mean, if you want to play him on Friday against Dallas and then play Subban at home against Edmonton, that'll then give Fleury 2 days off between games as well, because then you can send him Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be, we'll see how it goes. Or maybe because he has played, you know, he's had the five off days in a row, maybe he's like, you know what, Fleury can play three games in four nights. But, I mean, they know more about what he's able to do than we do.
Yeah, no telling exactly what they'll do there, but I do think you'll see Subban in that one of those games. Subban's played two of the last seven that we mentioned from the trade deadline, one loss in that 6-5 shootout victory over Florida. How's your sense of how do you think he's played? Haven't watched the games closer than me. I mean, you see a lot of goal totals, and I think that's got to worry you a little bit on paper. But I only saw a little bit of both those games, so I didn't get to watch every second like you.
Yeah, no, I mean he didn't play too great against Florida. You know, it kind of happens. And then against Calgary on Sunday, and I mean, you got to figure that Malcolm Subban has nightmares about playing in Calgary at this point, right? Like, he's played him twice and he's allowed 5 goals, and at least in both of them, it was a 6-3 win, but one was an empty netter. You know, he hasn't, you know, you allow 5 goals in back-to-back games, it's not great, but the last few before that, he had been playing well. And, you know, I think that the backup goalie syndrome when it comes to fans and justifying performance is kind of out. But I guess the Golden Knights didn't do him any favors against Calgary. He didn't play all that well against Florida. He was screened, but in a couple of the goals, but it's like, you know, you kind of, it's goalie's job to get around the screen. There are a lot of odd man rushes, some bad line changes, just some defensive breakdowns against Calgary. So I honestly don't think he played that bad. Obviously, it wasn't great, and he did allow, there was one goal that was just a shot from the blue line that had no business going into the net. But, you know, Subban's played, he's played fine. I think that, like we had said earlier, they're kind of locked into that playoff spot that they're in right now, so he doesn't need to play great. And once the playoffs start, I mean, it's, you know, backup goalies don't typically play in the playoffs. So, backup goalies are obviously very important throughout the season to spell your starter, and they've got 12 games left. I would expect Subban, let's just say I would expect him to play 3 of them. I think a 9-3 split for Fleury. Maybe they even go 8-4 to get Fleury.
I'll take the over 3. I think that they might try to play it coy, but I think they're going to start looking to get some of these guys some rest near the end of the season. And Fleury, I think, would be the top of the list, but maybe not.
Yeah, and
I would say 8-4 is probably the favorite, though.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he plays, you know, they have 2 more back-to-backs left, so I think there are 2 games right there, and maybe you give him the game in St. Louis or Colorado, or you let him play at home against Arizona or at L.A. to finish off the season, just to make sure Fleury's ready to rock before the playoffs. But, yeah, and Gallant had kind of intimated that today. We'd asked him, we're like, look, this last week of the season, it might not mean anything. It might be clinched, like you are in the 3 spot. So at that point, would you rest players? And he, you know, he's not going to say that he's going to rest guys, but he kind of intimated as such. And I think it would make sense to give, you know, a Derek England a break, or a Marc-Andre Fleury, or some of these veteran players, a Paul Stastny, William Karlsson, these guys that have had to shoulder the load for so long, to just give them a night off and let them watch, and, you know, just give them a night off and get ready to go, because these guys are going to be going nose to the grindstone every day once the regular season ends.
For sure. So I will go. I just don't believe in Dallas. I'm not a huge Stars guy. They've beat them twice this year, both at home. But I think they're going to win in Dallas on Friday. God, it's tough not knowing what the goalie's setup's going to be Sunday, Monday. But I'm going to say win in Edmonton and lose at San Jose. Very chalk of me with the last two. But I think the way the Golden Knights are playing, I think I see a 2-1 over this weekend's 3 games.
You know, it's always a lot more entertaining when we disagree, but yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that they're rested going into Dallas, which will play nicely for them. Edmonton is not a good hockey team this year. You know, exactly 500 by some people's calculations, 69 games, 69 points, but, you know, 31 wins, 38 losses in reality. And then San Jose is just really good. 23-5-5 at home this year. So yeah, I gotta agree. I think Dallas, they win in Dallas, win against Edmonton, and then lose in San Jose.
So we will review next week and see how we did on those picks. Only one game left this year against the Arizona Coyotes, which brings us to our Escaping the Fortress portion. The Coyotes, all of a sudden, are one of the talks of the NHL. They're in a playoff spot now. They've been red hot, 8-2 in their last 10. For a while, before Vegas went on this stretch that we talked about earlier, where they've won so many, I feel like people were watching Coyotes games as much as Golden Knights games around town. There was some fear that they could catch up. They're still only 6 points behind. Seems like kind of a long shot, but they're playing well. I know we've joked in the past on this podcast about them perennially being the sleeper team that doesn't live up to expectations. But now it feels like they're the sleeper team going into the playoff. It certainly looks like they're going to sneak into it. What do you make of your hometown Arizona Coyotes over the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's been shocking. It has been. I mean, this is a team that has lost just about at some point or another every player on their roster. Darcy Kuemper has been terrific in goal for the Coyotes. He was supposed to be their backup. Antti Raanta's been gone the entire year. They make a big trade for Nick Schmaltz. He gets hurt. They lose Michael Grabner, a penalty-killing extraordinaire for a long stretch of games. They lose Derek Stepan now. Like, this is a team that has lost, I believe it's still a true stat, more man games to, or however you would want to, more games lost than any other team in the league to injury. And the fact that they're still trucking is pretty amazing. And, you know, they don't have the toughest schedule remaining. I mean, they've got, just looking at their schedule, they got to go to Tampa Bay on Monday. But that, and then because they bumped Minnesota out of the playoff spot, they then, of their 12 games remaining, they only have 3 games against a team in a playoff spot. They got to go play at Tampa Bay, who they beat 7-1 this year. I don't know how on earth that happened, but... And then they play the Golden, they come to Vegas on Thursday, April 8th or 4th, and then play at home against Winnipeg to finish out the year. So, you know, they have games against, they get to play the Kings again, they get to play the Ducks again, they get to play the Devils and, or I'm sorry, I missed the Islanders. So they have 4 games left against playoff teams. But yeah, I mean, the Coyotes have been ridiculous. And I think that, you know, I think we might have mentioned in our last podcast, but, you know, Rick Tocchet, the job that he's done as the head coach there, he's going to get some real Jack Adams consideration, especially if they sneak into a playoff spot, which they are currently in.
Yeah, they currently are. And right now they would currently be the Sharks opponent. So no guarantee there, but the Sharks Flames, however that plays out, the team that's not playing the Golden Knights could be playing the Coyotes is what I'm trying to say. And as of right now, I mean, I think for sure you'd rather play the Coyotes, but with the way they've been playing, it doesn't seem like a huge advantage.
No, I mean, we had talked about a couple of times just how bad the Western Conference wildcard race had been, but then Minnesota rolled out a 6-game winning streak. Dallas got really hot. Arizona got really hot. So suddenly it's not as bad as it looked earlier in the year. And there's been some real separation between the better teams in the league. And right now I'm still holding out hope for my dream scenario of a desert playoff series. That would be round two right now. If the playoffs started right now, Vegas beat Calgary and Arizona beat San Jose, Vegas would host Arizona in the second round of the playoffs, which my mom would be very excited about because it meant that I'd be coming home.
Oh, there you go. I like it. It's a good story, but I don't think they're beating San Jose in a playoff series.
No, I don't think so either. And they're no guarantee. They're only 1 point up on Minnesota and 3 points up on Colorado right now. So they are by no means locked into anything. But it's a very cool story in Arizona. This is a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 7 years since they made a Western Conference Finals run. And it's very cool to see a team like that, you know, a team that a lot of people in hockey like to forget about, surge and play meaningful games at this part of the season.
Would Mama Emerson be rooting for the Coyotes or the Golden Knights? Hometown
Mama
team?
Mama never been a hockey fan, so...
She'd watch, though, if it was bringing you home, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you, though, my Uncle Marty is a big Coyotes fan, and he would absolutely hate to see the Coyotes lose to Vegas in a playoff series. He'd yell at me, even though it would not be my fault at all. He would blame me. So I think a lot of my family might.
Well, there you have it. So could be an awkward moment for Justin if Arizona makes
way
the playoffs.
Down the road. And, way down the road. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your heart tell you, though, your gut to finish off this discussion? Do you think Arizona can ultimately keep this up? Do they sneak into the playoffs?
They don't have the hardest schedule remaining. Their goal differential is right now of the wild card teams.
Second best?
Yeah. If you take out, Colorado and Dallas both have better goal differentials.
Oh, third best then.
Yeah, third best. I don't know. Growing up in Arizona, you get conditioned to not trust the Coyotes, but I'm gonna say they do it. I'm going to say that they grab that second wild card spot.
Yeah, it's no clinch, but I think right now, you went over the schedule. They're in it right now. I think they've got probably like a 55-60% chance right now, if I was just guessing off the top of my head. So I'm going to say they sneak in as well, but I don't think they will give much trouble to San Jose or Calgary, depending on who it is. I mean, I guess if you're them, you're hoping somehow you pass Dallas or whoever else and you get to play Winnipeg or Nashville, because that side certainly looks a little less imposing than the Pacific teams.
Yeah, and like, you know, their biggest competition is probably Minnesota. I just brought up their schedule. They only have two games left this season against teams that are currently not in a playoff spot. So, and they still got to make an East Coast trip to play Washington, Carolina. They come here. It's gonna be tough for Minnesota. They're in a rough spot. So I believe in the Coyotes.
God, the NHL postseason just won't feel the same without Minnesota losing in the first round. I feel like
it's
that's
be weird to see them not get 100 points and then lose to the Blackhawks in the first round. It's gonna be very strange.
And I could just be totally lying, and that hasn't happened, but it feels like it's happened 16 straight years. So Arizona could block Minnesota fans from more playoff misery, I guess, but then they'll be in their own misery for missing the playoffs.
Brutal.
But we will wrap up this week, as we always do, with our Shining Knight competition. Justin has pulled far ahead of me. This is where we pick...
Yeah.
3-1, baby. A Golden Knight to excel for the week ahead, the
three
upcoming
games.
As we mentioned, the three games. Last podcast, I went with Jonathan Marchessault. Just I wanted the surest bet possible to try to catch up. Then Justin took Malcolm Subban, and as soon as he said, I said I was going to lose, and I loved what he was going with because Subban really just needed to get a win, and he got that. So Justin is up 3-1, and I believe I picked Marchessault first. So you get your pick of the litter. You can only pick everyone once to remind everyone of the rules. But all right, there you go.
And I think that if you were picking...
We did rave about him.
I think that if you were picking first, you would have taken Stone as well.
The only reason I wouldn't have is if maybe I wanted to save him, but I probably would have. I think that that's a good choice.
Yeah, I'm just going to ride it. It's the first opportunity that we've had to take him. He's you know, he's got 3 points in his last two games playing... playing good hockey and, you know, playing with Stastny and Pacioretty, just I'm going with Stone.
Yeah, that's a good call. Do I just like concede and go down 4-1 and take like Ryan Carpenter or something? We only have
shade at Ryan Carpenter, by the way. 1, 2, 3. We only have 4 podcasts left this year. So really,
well, play it. We can go with the playoffs. Ooh, I feel like we should. We might as well, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe then I did.
We got to talk about something.
Maybe then I did use Mark Stone too early.
Oh, well, maybe we can decide the rules. We didn't really talk about the playoffs.
We will have only had 8 of them, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who do you like,
though? No shade to Ryan Carpenter. It's just I was trying to think of a guy on a deeper line, and he was the first one that came to mind. So it's kind of a compliment.
I mean, you picked Zikov at once, and he got scratched. So you could just take like Eric Halla or something just to go with that.
If Eric Halla miraculously comes back like Monday and scores 2 goals. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, joke's on me.
Are we going to see Eric Halla, by the way?
He's been around at practice.
Yeah, I know he skated.
He was watching. They said they skated. We have not seen him skate yet. Well, Will Carrier skated after practice day, so we've seen him, so he's a little bit closer. But Halla's a lot more present around the practice facility these days, or a lot more visible, I should say. So I think that if they did not think that they were going to get him, they wouldn't be pushing him hard to come back and kind of, you know, just take it over the summer. But I think that they think there's a chance he comes back this year.
Well, that would be
a major boost.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, that, I feel like you would have 3 really strong lines with Halla in the mix.
If you can throw out Eakin, Tuck, and Halla as your third line, that ain't bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Instead of throwing the competition, as I mentioned, for this week, I guess I'm just going to have to come after you with all I can, and I'll have to pick one of the only guys I can pick on the board that potentially could compete.
What you got
with Stone? So I'm gonna go with William Karlsson and hope. I know the second line's playing more than the first line now, but maybe I hope the first line gets it together this week. And I gotta hope for a couple Karlsson goals. At least this way, it should be fun. We've got a main event matchup.
Oh yeah,
in the Shining Knight this week.
Heavyweight matchup. It makes up for us going with Perry and Nosek for some reason in the first.
The very first one.
But yeah, I mean Karlsson's been playing well. Last 5 games, he has 5 points. So. He has 1 goal in that time, but that top line's played really well, and I think that part of it, they may have the Stone coming in, just that boost onto the second line has helped draw different defensive assignments, whatever it is, but since Stone got here, that top line has been playing really well, so this is going to be this might be our best Shining Knight competition yet.
For sure, and similar in the way that they can both be good on both sides of the ice. I mean, Karlsson does some things defensively sometimes that blow you away. I know Stone's even more renowned on that side, but...
I think those are your two best defensive forwards on the team.
I don't think you'd get much argument from that.
But yeah, I think Karlsson and Stone are really, like, if you were to pick guys that could be in the Selke conversation at some point, that it's those two. So yeah, I like this. This will be fun.
All right, Stone versus Karlsson. That's our makeup to you guys for missing a podcast or two, is now we have... the heavy hitters, as Justin said, in this matchup. Carlson versus Stone, watch out for that this week. Watch out for everything else we talked about. We'll be back in a week or a little bit less to break down the next set of games as we march more towards the playoffs. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening, as always, to Vegas Golden Podcast.